It's Wednesday, November 8th, and you're tuning in to Wing TV. Donald Rumsfeld has resigned. The Democrats sweep the elections. There's a lot going on in the world. This is Victor Thorne, and I'm very pleased today to welcome Mr. Bill Brumbaugh as our political analyst to look at all of these different things. And Bill, as I told you just a couple minutes ago, our power was out for about the last half hour, and I only got news of this a few minutes ago when Frank Whalen from RBN called and filled me in. So this is really all unfolding right now. It's new to everybody. So the elections yesterday, the Democrats sweep, or at least it looks like they sweep, and now Donald Rumsfeld's fallen on the sword. Do you think this is Karl Rove stealing the thunder from the Democrats?
Well, by the way, happy Wednesday. Glad to be here. Yeah, and, you know, the Rumsfeld resigning is really, it's like Bush is throwing his hand in. But he's already nominated Robert Gates.
Uh-huh.
And Gates is almost as dirty as Rumsfeld. So
right.
This will be very interesting. But, you know, I had a big, very important story I wanted to lead with. Dick Cheney went honey in South Dakota.
I saw that.
So, it's like, I got news. I think I would much rather be doing something else. I mean, you know, of all the days to go, honey, this was not the one to go with Cheney in the party. I mean, what's with this guy? Was he thinking, okay, we're not going to have a good turnout election-wise, so I go kill something? And I noticed Michael Moore didn't try and get in the hunting party either.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in the same state, I don't think, if Dick Cheney has a rifle on this day. So, all right, Bill, let's break it down.
A guy with quadruple bypass. No way he should be vice president. He's the invisible man. He only, he basically exercises the energy to raise money at the last minute for the Republicans because they started realizing, you know what, we're going to lose.
Oh, exactly.
And you know what, I said that I thought that they'd pull voter fraud off. Well, you know, the big two states for voter fraud are Ohio and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fascinating how Ohio and Florida also happened to be major states that had big time trouble with the voting machines and issued paper ballots.
Exactly, yeah. And when we look at the results now from yesterday, we see that Democratic governors are now in the majority. We know that the Democrats took the House, and even though there's still two big races, one out in Montana and one in Virginia.
No, Montana's over. Associated Press announced that Tester won.
Okay.
And Conrad Burns, who I worked for the scumbag until I realized he was just another whore on the take.
Okay.
And then I actually went to a dinner at Sir Scott's Oasis, very famous place in Manhattan, Montana, and had dinner with him and Baucus. And the fact is that both of them were whores.
Okay.
I knew Baucus was on the take. And it's just like I was accepted as, yeah, you know this stuff. And it's like, God, what is this, California North? I mean, God darn it. I mean, all the crap and corruption in California, and we'll talk about that, too, involving everything. I mean, God darn it. I mean, what a mishmash that is, but it just blows me away. I'm just wondering if the Democrat is going to take the last seat.
Well, right now, then, with this news, it seems like the Democrats now have the Senate, even though there's two independents, quasi-independents, and Lieberman.
One independent said he'll join the Democratic
exactly.
caucus, but he'll still remain independent.
Right. So that means now that it's a sweep. The Democrats took the House, the Senate, and the governorship. And what I want to do is go over, I found 10 of the biggest races that I thought, this was before the elections yesterday, that these are the 10 we have to keep an eye on. But first, Bill, I want to preface this by saying that, and I'm sure you would concur on a lot of these points, that me personally, I'm very conservative in my politics, and I almost invariably vote for conservative candidates. But, well, when you say someone's conservative, what does that really mean? Well, to me it means smaller government, less government spending, anti-abortion, secure the borders.
Any government in Congress.
Right, yeah. Secure the borders, no involvement in foreign wars unless the safety of this country is directly jeopardized, no culture of corruption, honesty. And you know what, Bill? The GOP has betrayed us on every single level of conservatism. So when I went into the polling booth, I either voted for an independent if they were available, or secondly, then, I voted for whoever wasn't the incumbent. And it seems like a lot of people in this country use the same kind of quotient or theory when they went into the polling booth. So when you think of the potential, when you had supposedly conservatives in all three branches now, the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office, and they've betrayed us. They've let down this country in a horrendous way. And you know what? I'm glad to see them go.
Oh, yeah. But my point is, or the point I'd like to make is it really that big a change? Yeah, the guys were conservative. They were dirty. The Democrats, we can't prove the massive amount of connections that the Republicans had. You know, the Abramoff scandal has not even broken the surface yet. I mean, that's going to be one of the hugest things. And believe me, the Democrats will investigate. Unfortunately, there's a lot of their people that are involved in the take and run as well. And so they've got to be very careful because we could literally see political chaos in this country at a level that we have no idea of. I mean, let's not forget, the Democrats voted the Patriot Act 1 and 2 and 3. They voted for everything that Bush did, and then they were slamming him on one hand, but they were playing with him on the other.
Well,
and that's because they derived tremendous power and perks, and this election proves that I don't think anybody's honest.
Well,
when I say that, I mean we've got Barack Obama and Harold Ford, two young, sharp black men coming up, but they were brought up in the same corporate atmosphere, the same lawyerism, that the mentors now are. So what is the difference going to be?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Homosexuality, we'll see a more liberal, easy swing in government, supposedly. But when are we going to see this? These guys are going to know that Bush is going to fight them hand over fist. I mean, no two ways about it. And the president is the most powerful man, supposedly, in the world. I don't believe that. I think that any major corporate officer is as powerful or more so because of
the money
levy towards the...
Well, the thing, Bill, that...
Through lobbying.
The thing I was talking about today was that the GOP got hijacked by the extremists in the party. That's these... The Israel firsters, the neocons, the warmongers, the fearmongers. And if you look now at who's going to take control on the Democratic side, it's the same extremists, except it just moves in the other directions. Nancy Pelosi, Howard Dean, Ted Kennedy, Hillary Clinton, and on. So if anybody can learn a lesson from this, it's that the people in the middle that won the elections, and a lot of these Democrats were very, very conservative or middle of the road, but the problem is that the extremists of either party are the ones that always move to the forefront and hijack the party, and I'm afraid that's what's going to happen now.
Yeah, I mean, Pelosi is Speaker of the House, and she's been wanting that role, you know, for some time, I'd say, you know.
Uh-huh.
The fact is, what is the difference? You know, they immediately started running damage control a couple days ago. There was an article that came out in the Bay Guardian, also called the Gay Guardian, and it said Israel is afraid of Pelosi because she's coming after the Jews. What the hell do they think we are? All idiots? Is that the level of the mindset of the elite? And I'm afraid they might be right.
Yeah.
Now, by that I mean, you know, the fact is that, well, obviously now the Democrats are the good guys and they're riding the white horse. There are no good guys in there. All of them have their hands stuck out. Money's being exchanged on major levels. The power is consolidating down to just a few people. We're still going on. Well, there's a couple issues. One is support's issue. That was resolved, right? I mean, that's a dead issue. No, it hasn't been resolved. It's still Britain controlling Israel, and who's controlling Britain? I think it's a key cadre of Zionists and very rich people.
Yeah. Well,
and
Bill, let's get into...
Did we gain control back at Grand Central Station? No, we didn't. These are major issues. Our security is in the crapper. I mean, the fact is that all we've done is tighten up the rules and then hand the security over to someone else. Nothing has changed. If the Democrats want to show themselves to be good guys, let's see them undo the list of executive orders. Let's see that.
Well, none of those things are going to happen.
It's only been done one time ever, and that was Bill Clinton undid something many years ago that was written by Roosevelt, and that was it. And I don't even know the full implications of that, but if Clinton did it, it had to have major implications.
Yeah. Well, let's go down all of these big races here, because that was the big news today, and I think it's very interesting. And what we really say is, what the big commentators are telling us is, this is a mandate for change. Well, let's look at it, and I want to talk about the Rick Santorum race, but first, I think the most indicative race that is a referendum or shows what was in the mind of voters was up in Rhode Island. You had Lincoln Chafee. He comes from a very famous family of politicians, and even though he's a Republican, he was the only Republican to vote against the Iraq War. He voted against Bush's tax cuts. He's anti-Bush. He even voted against George Bush in a 2004 presidential election. On top of that, the people in Rhode Island have a very favorable impression of Lincoln Chafee. Yet, a guy named Sheldon Whitehouse won the election, and they booted Lincoln Chafee out. Basically, he was one of the innocents that went down because of the war. And do you think this is really the microcosm of what we see in a bigger picture, was the war and people's disgust with the war is what really pushed this election and their votes?
Oh, I think that's a big part of it. I wish that was all of it. I mean, I really mean that. I wish that was all of it. The nonsense, the stuff that we have coming down in so many ways, and the housing market crashing and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, the war, that was it. And the people don't even know what the war is about. They don't know that our troops have been irradiated. They don't know the massive devastation that we're facing from the first Persian Gulf War. We have 500,000 disabled troops, permanently disabled. And it's like, and what's going to happen to these? These have been more greatly exposed to depleted uranium than the first troops by a major factor. I mean, it's like, I think we figured out it's like a 500-to-1 factor, the depleted uranium this time. Now, we didn't have the Diet Coke and the aspartame problem like we did in the first Persian Gulf War, to the best of my knowledge, or nobody reported it. And I know that Betty Martini is a dear, sweet friend of mine. She keeps her finger on the pulse of that. But the thing is that do they need to do that? God, how many times do you poison the troops? And we ruled against the Iraq War. I mean, basically every Republican's a bum who was a warmonger and followed Cheney, Bush, Rumsfeld, and wanted the war. But that is not the issue. They have not even found the issue out yet. And the Democrats know it. My friends and I, personally, we contacted
Well, I think the everyday person, Bill, is just...
uranium. No one responded. Zero, zilch, nada.
I know, because, Bill, the everyday people...
And all sorts of things like that. And, you know, thanks for contacting us. We're concerned about your issue. Nobody mentioned depleted uranium back then.
Yeah,
nobody
well, did. The everyday
They're
person, Bill, isn't aware of depleted uranium, but what they are aware of is that they're sick and tired of this war. They don't want our troops to be over there, and even though they don't want us to pull out immediately, they see another Vietnam there. And the next perfect example of this is Rick Santorum, right here in my home state. Now, Rick Santorum definitely ran the most extreme campaign of anybody when it comes to warmongering. He even pulled a trick out of Barry Goldwater's bag and had the commercials on saying, if you vote for Bob Casey, and then they had the mushroom clouds in the back, and, you know, if you vote for Bob Casey, you're voting for terrorists. The funny thing is that Santorum lost by a big, big, big margin. And what he was basically saying is that we all have to prepare for the Muslims to invade America. They're going to kill us all. They're going to convert us all to Islam. Everyone's going to have prayer rugs. It's going to be...
That's part of the myth of evangelical Christianity.
Exactly.
That is not true.
Right.
And now maybe we have made that true because we have punched them so long and stuck them in a corner. Maybe they'll come out swinging. It is a reason of concern.
Yeah, so Santorum's down in Casey. Bob Casey, his father, was the governor of Pennsylvania, very famous governor because he wasn't allowed to speak at one of the Democratic conventions that Bill Clinton was nominated at because he was pro-life. And there's always been some hard feelings between the Democrats and the Casey family because of that. But since Casey was a moderate, he won. Conrad Burns, you just mentioned a little bit ago that he lost. He was connected to Jack Abramoff. He actually received more money from Abramoff than any other candidate. He had to actually give back $150,000. He's done now, too, huh?
Yeah, he's done. He's done permanently. The people in Montana are pissed.
All right. Down in Tennessee, Bob Corker, really the only bright spot for the GOP in these big races. He beat a guy that you mentioned earlier, Harold Ford, one of the rising black stars. And Corker, I think, got over the top when he ran these sex ads about Harold Ford. I guess Harold Ford went and watched the Super Bowl once at a Playboy party or something. And he said, hey, I like football and I like pretty women. What's the problem with that? But
that was a wrong tack.
Yeah, and you see the lengths they go to. Now, the only race that's still open, the only big race, is down in Virginia. We have George Ellen against Jim Webb, and George Ellen, it seems...
It seems like Webb has the edge. Who knows?
It looks like he has it, and George Ellen, he first made news when he made this macaca comment about some Indian guy. Then he denied that he knew anything about his Jewish family, his Jewish roots. Then last week, a guy named Mike Stark, a blogger, was wrestled to the ground and almost had his head pushed through a plate glass window by George Ellen's thugs. And he was really one of the rising stars for the GOP. I think they had him pegged for the presidency maybe, but he might not even win a Senate race now.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to. I really don't. I mean, everybody knows George Ellen's father. He was the football coach. And he liked the older, seasoned veteran players, which is why he couldn't win a Super Bowl, because towards the end of the year, these guys were too banged up to survive. They just couldn't make it. But it was like, I never understood that. I mean, when he was the Rams coach, I was glad to see him go, and then I was glad to see the Rams go eventually.
Yeah.
But the thing is that he had a very weird mindset, and he just couldn't pull off the big game. They'd always go to the playoffs and get their butts kicked.
Yeah, yeah. Now let's talk about two women here. First of all, Hillary. She wasn't in a big race
Let me finish up a little bit more now.
Okay.
I think that George Allen, the football coach, was such a commanding personality, and he was. I mean, I sat in on some things at the Rams, and boy, he would talk. Nobody challenged him. That mindset had to be incumbent. I think the kid had to pick up something of his father. You know, we're told that, your habits are formed through your environment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that is really true, and there's a lot that psychologically plays out there. I think that he was playing his father's game, and he was trying to be George Allen the coach as a Republican governor, and I think he's done.
Yeah, he, it's still left to be seen, but I wouldn't mind seeing him take a big fall. Now, Hillary wasn't in a big race. Everyone knew that she was going to win, but she outspent every other candidate in the neighborhood of $30 million, and it looks like she was flexing her muscles getting ready for 2008. What do you think?
Well, you know, definitely, I found that really weird. Her and Bill, you know, pulled the bankruptcy routine when he leaves office, despite the fact that he gets so much money, like $20,000 minimum for speaking just a couple minutes somewhere, and where did her $30 million come from? I want to see some payback. And it's like before, you know, everybody made such a stink about Alan Keyes, and I agree. Keyes left the political ring owing a lot of money, and I think he ought to sit down, raise some money, and pay it back, because where does that money come from? It comes from the taxpayers. Somebody who doesn't have the big guns behind them, it's the taxpayers they milk and build. Where did Hillary come up with $30 million? I'm just curious.
Well, after Bill left office, I mean, they both got their big paydays. Hillary got $10 million for her bio. Bill got $12 million for his. So right there, they got $22 million laid in their laps. But these guys are
experts. And then she did invest $1,000 and make, what, $100,000?
Yeah,
$100,000. Boy, anybody with those powers, I guess you could make money coming and going.
Yeah. Now, Bill, as happy as I was to see these incumbents going, leaving office, getting out of the system, out of this machine, one thing we got to wake up and realize is we have Nancy Pelosi now as the House Majority Leader, and that's to me, a scary thought that this woman, first of all, she's the first woman, and that's nothing to be held against her, but she has a mindset that's different than mine and different than a lot of Americans. And what do you think is going to happen now with her as a House Majority Leader?
Well, she's going to have to divest herself of a lot of issues in San Francisco. The fact is that we've got her and Feinstein. I've got a friend who lives out there. He is a bulldog of a reporter, and he gives me some great stuff. And his name's Peter Paul Verzola. He is Catholic, but I forgive him. the thing is that he's got Pelosi type. Pelosi's got her finger in every piece of dirt in San Francisco. I mean, it's just amazing. And he said, I hope Pelosi wins. So I go on the air, and I'm going to put him on the air, all right. I mean, he's going to slaughter her, and she's going to have a real difficult term. The first couple of years, she'll just be digging out from under Peter's research. I mean, it's just amazing. But Pelosi, you know, she tries to play the part of the virtuous woman, and she tries to look like a conservative that's really a liberal that doesn't know what the hell she is. But the thing is that I think that she's a bad choice because, again, these guys, all of them, they knew about 9-1-1.
Yep.
I refuse to believe that the senators, at least, just 100 senators, that a fraction of them at least didn't know what the truth was, didn't know what the facts were, didn't know about the, you know. Like,
well, if they didn't then, they certainly know.
You've got the facts nailed. But the fact is that none of these people spoke out. They're all along for the ride.
Well, yeah, and if they didn't know then, they certainly know now. And it's unforgivable that none of them have spoken out, including people like Ron Paul, who is supposed to be this beacon of light. Even he hasn't gone down on the floor and spoken out about 9/11. So let's move on here. Missouri. This was became a very well-known race for one reason. Michael J. Fox, he did that commercial where he's twitching all over the place. Then Rush Limbaugh jumps in there saying Michael J. Fox was faking it with his Parkinson's disease. The whole thing was about stem cell research. Well, Claire McCaskill, the Democrat, won, and the voter referendum on stem cell research was approved. And I was listening to some talk radio this morning, and one of the callers called in and said one of the big reasons the Republicans lost was a big mouth named Rush Limbaugh, that if he wouldn't have opened his mouth, all of this money on the Democratic side wouldn't have came into McCaskill, and she probably would have lost. So was Rush doing this on purpose? Is he part of this whole game to get the Democrats in, you know, being a useful dupe, or did he just put his foot in his mouth?
I don't know. You know, it's fascinating because he'll be a quote-unquote Republican mouthpiece and spokesman for many years to come, despite the fact, again, he violated the law, didn't get busted for it, nothing happened. And the second time, whatever happened with that? I mean, he had got busted a second time. They buried the story. I think all this stuff's going to come back out. But the thing is, I think Limbaugh did speak out of turn. Michael J. Fox drinks lots of diet soda, and I think that's his problem. They don't correlate. They don't quantitate the effects of aspartame on people, and it really affected Michael J. Fox. I'm so disappointed in what's happened to him. And, you know, now he's chosen to speak out, and he's just jumping all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's frightening to see. But the bottom line is here, the guy chose to drink aspartame.
Well, I don't know if that, I mean, Bill, we don't know.
In a backhand way, kind of back the Republican Party.
Yeah, but we don't know
the guy. The guy who held the gun up on aspartame was none other than Donald Rumsfeld. Yeah. The guy's going to make billions off of it, and they've done everything they can to squash every alternative and naturopathic sweetener. There's some great ones out there. I mean,
yeah. Well, Bill, we don't know that drinking diet soda,
jumping around and twitching like a madman. I just hate to see people fall to that level.
Yeah, Bill, we don't know, though, that drinking diet soda gave him Parkinson's disease. I mean, there's millions and millions and millions of people that drink tons of diet soda that don't get Parkinson's. I don't think we can make that stretch.
No,
but
I think there is a link. I think Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and all that stuff has a dietary link. I really do.
Well, that's a possibility, but we can't say that he got it just for that reason.
But that's just my opinion. We'll discuss that off the air.
Yeah.
But I think it is a big deal, though. How come all these people are coming down with Parkinson's and stuff? It hasn't always been here. It has accelerated radically, and I think that people need to reexamine how the FDA, that's one thing I think the Democrats are going to do. I think being as they are not as well vested in so much of the drug industry, I think that's where we're going to see a lot of probes and a lot of investigations go on. And I think they'll focus more on that, and they'll move away from Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney and Rose nonsense about the Iraqi war, because that is the giant issue. Again, the people coming down with depleted uranium poisoning and stuff like that, the guys that are suiciding, the suicide rate is incredible.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are they doing? They're just going to sit on their hands on that, because that's something that would be too upsetting to the public.
Right. Well, let's go, let's move now to Maryland. And this race is interesting because you mentioned some of the black rising stars. Well, the GOP had a guy named Michael Steele. And what's interesting is that black candidates were in four major races. And all four of them lost their races. A guy named Blackwell lost. Lynn Swann from the Pittsburgh Steelers was running for governor of PA. He lost to Ed Rendell. Michael Steele and Maryland lost. And we mentioned already Harold Ford lost. So the four major black candidates all lost in their races. What do you think that means?
Well, I think that's significant. I think basically the public is just saying we're sick of Republicans and everybody that they're promoting, and we want some change, and so they grabbed the Democratic ticket.
Well, these were Republicans and Democrats, though.
It would have been the right thing to do, but it's like I don't know what to say. I wouldn't vote for any incumbent, zero zilch nada, and almost everybody that I know in a political sense did the same thing. No incumbents.
Well, these blacks, though, they weren't incumbents. They were Republicans and Democrats. The important thing is, like, it was across the spectrum. There wasn't one thing you could nail down why they lost, but all four of the black candidates lost. And I thought that was interesting because, especially even with Harold Ford, he was the only major Democrat in these 10 big races to lose. He was the only one. So just something to throw out there. Now down in
New... It is. The term I heard from a buddy of mine, he's a retired police officer from California, said those guys are Oreos, black on the outside, white on the inside. Nobody wants any more of the Republicans.
Yeah.
He's been a lifelong Democrat, and it's like he called me yelling and jumping. I said, these guys are all the same people. They just wore different suits.
Right. Well, now, down in New Jersey, since you mentioned 9/11, of course, everybody knows
New
Tom.
Jersey, the land of McGreevy and Golan Sapel.
Well, Tom Kane, of course, was the head of the 9/11 Whitewash Committee. His son, Tom Kane Jr., was running for the Senate for the Republicans. He lost to a guy named Bob Menendez. And what Tom Kane did to make it interesting is that he was running Sopranos commercials, kind of linking this Menendez guy on his heritage to Italian gangsters and so forth, and he lost. So another Republican went down, and since he was the son of Tom Kane Sr., it's good to see him go down. Out in Ohio.
Well, I really wish I'd had high-speed internet, because I would have liked to tape and record. I've got about 80 gigs of space left over on my hard drive. I just take so long on data. I would have liked to have taped and recorded the dirty commercials.
Oh, my God. There are so many of them.
People complained about Clinton and his commercials. Oh, my God. These commercials were radical.
Yeah.
And I think that due to that, we're going to see legislation nationwide against using race or certain criteria for any type of political announcement. And it's like you won't be able to use the term Zionist. You hate Jews. You hate Zionists.
Well, I don't think anybody would use that word in a major race, because
none of that stuff was truly used in this election.
Yeah. Well, nobody would ever use Zionist.
It might have been used in little races here and there on personal levels. But I'll tell you what, I think that is a big issue. And I think that, again, I think they're going to put the clamps on commercials, and you will have to submit your commercial perhaps for a review before it airs.
No, I doubt it.
The censorship's going to be tremendous out of this election.
No, I think this has been going on for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and this is going to be politics as usual. The media loves it because they get tons of money from the candidates, plus it spices things up and keeps people tuning in. So even though people say they hate it, you know, this is all part of the process, and I don't think Washington's going to change a thing about it.
I think that we're really close to the completion of their plans for the gutting of America and the New World Order, and I think they will change certain things. I think there'll be a level of censorship. Then again, I call the race wrong, so what do I know?
Yeah. Well, let's move on to...
It's like the robocalls.
Yeah.
I mean, that article just blew my mind. I mean, about how many of these calls took place and what they were doing, and I mean, it's like, my goodness, particularly in Ohio and Florida. Those are key states. I really don't understand why they're so important for the races, but everything seems to hinge on those two states.
Well, since you mentioned Ohio, the only person, the only congressman to resign so far over the Abramoff scandal was a guy named Bob Ney from Ohio. Mike DeWine, running for the Republicans, lost, another GOP casualty. Sherrod Brown won. And one of the big reasons is that Ohio, Bill, has lost over 200,000 manufacturing jobs in the last couple of years, all outsourced to China and other slave labor markets. The people in Ohio are pissed off now. They got an Ohio governor, both senators from Ohio, and I think basically the entire state of Ohio went Democrat. They're tired of losing all their jobs.
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, the job loss started so many years ago, but it's accelerated so vehemently. It's not funny. I just, you know, it's like, we got these new jobs, you know, we provided this. No, if these were corporate jobs where the corporations hired people from India, people from China, and those were the new jobs, and they consider them, that's how they now track the numbers. And it's like, we have new jobs. Jobs are on the rise. What a load of crap. Our money rate, the money that we make has decreased radically, and they're saying now, you know, basically people living at poverty level are you know, I mean, all that's changed.
Well, the talk show.
It's all changed radically, and it's all listed as good for America. All it is good for the corporations, because this is nothing more than an exercise in fascism.
Right. Well, all the talk show hosts keep bragging about how great the economy is. There's only 4% unemployment. What they don't bring to the table is that these guys before were making 15, 18, 25 bucks an hour in manufacturing jobs. When they all left, of course these guys have to get jobs, but now they're making 8 bucks an hour, 10 bucks an hour, or something like that. A lot of them are working two jobs, so even though everybody's working, the standard of living has dropped because the higher paying manufacturing jobs are no longer here. And they said, well, there's only 4% unemployment. Yeah, everybody's working. They're just working a whole hell of a lot harder to not even get to where they were before.
Absolutely.
You know? So, one last race.
And yeah, we look at the CEOs. The CEOs, which are the governors of fascism. I mean, we've got political fascism. We've got corporate fascism. And the two are now working hand in hand.
Right.
The CEOs are making, I mean, you listen to the money they make. It's like they get paid off billions of dollars despite the fact they've failed to maintain, they've failed to occupy, they've failed to increase or even hold the balance of power corporate-wise within their respective industries. And they leave office getting billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. Now, up in Connecticut, Joe Lieberman, the liberal Israel first warmonger, a couple months ago he lost the Democratic primary. Everybody thought he was dead in the water. He ran as an independent and won. Now, he says he's going to caucus with the Democrats. And the most surprising, I guess, the comeback story of the year, definitely Joe Lieberman. And I'm no fan of his whatsoever. But the guy fought, he went back in, and this chump he ran against, Ned Lamont, actually after he won the primary, went on vacation for a couple weeks and just kind of took it easy thinking he was a shoe-in. And now this guy's out in the cold, and Lieberman's back right where he always was.
I, I don't understand that. I mean, I really don't understand that. I think it's got to be an issue of voter fraud, or he had so much money that came in and backed him.
Well, you know what's funny?
I was glad to see Lieberman go. I'm tired of the bum.
And so am I.
All of a sudden, he runs as an independent. How the hell can you run on name recognition after you already lost you to name recognition?
Well, you know who voted for him, Bill? Was the Republicans. So the Republicans, because they're warmongers, plus a few of the loyalist Democrats, put this guy back into office. And what the Republicans don't realize is, even though he'll vote with Bush on this war that's going down the tubes, Lieberman's an extreme liberal, and he's going to vote against everything they represent. So the GOP shoots themselves in the foot here by voting for this guy that has nothing to do with their agenda whatsoever.
Well, it's going to be funny to me. We've got an independent. We only have a couple independents. I mean, we don't have many. And this guy is going to vote with the Democrats.
Oh, yeah.
And he will take a leading issue in the voting and speaking his mind on issues. And it's like, so what is he really? He's just a neo-Democrat.
That's the perfect term. And I guess the only good thing I can say about Lieberman is he was maybe the only Democrat to speak out forcefully against the serial sexual predator Bill Clinton when he had all these shenanigans with Kathleen Willey and Monica Lewinsky and on and on and on. So that's the only good thing I can say for him. But I guess overall, when we look at these big races, and the Democrats won 9 of the 10 big ones that we just went over, what we see is that they're a little bit more conservative socially than the typical Democrat or liberal would be. They're anti-globalist. They're more nationalistic. At least this is what they ran upon. Now, if this is true, if they're more populist than the majority of Democrats, what's going to happen, Bill, and you know this as well as me, is you're going to see people like John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Ted Kennedy, Howard Dean move to the forefront and poison this country with their extremist views, just like Republican talk radio and these neocons did with the conservatives. Either end of these extreme is going to put their poison in and ruin everything, don't you think?
Well, I think that's the old guard. And they're going to come in with power, and they're going to be pushing their issues. And I think they're going to be very disappointed because the majority of people that voted in this election are pro-life. They did not vote in favor of homosexuality. So we've got a real issue now. I mean, we've got the Democrats are going to have to realign and redefine their position to convince the public that they're really moderates, despite the fact they're extremists. I think that you'll see everybody except for Kennedy will change their position, their public position somewhat. I mean, here we got Kennedy, the guy is a nasty drunk, okay, who killed a woman on Chappaquiddick. And that whole story is fascinating. I'd like to share with your audience sometime. Let's talk about it off the air. But it's like he screwed that family. Mary Jo Kopechne, they got not a penny of insurance out of that.
Right, right.
And it's like that's because Kennedy transferred everything in his trust fund. He showed them an old document, and they said, yeah, we'll take this, $5 million. And Kennedy transferred everything out except for like a penny. I mean, that's all he left in there. But the thing is that everybody's sick of Kennedy. I think that the public that voted didn't vote for Kennedy as much as they did Democrats.
Right.
And I think that everything's going to change. They're going to redefine and realign themselves, as I mentioned earlier, and they will put on a different presentation. Kennedy's part of the old guard. He's been in for, half a century.
Well, if any message was sent,
the guy to go.
Yeah, if any message has been sent is it's time to get rid of the old guard, and I hope that both sides of the aisle now can realize the message being sent. A couple other quick races, Bill. Elliot.
I just wish they'd go third, fourth, or fifth party.
Absolutely.
There's great candidates out there. People, and it was the people that formed the government when this government took formation. And now these major Neolithic powerhouses who make billions of dollars in office for just a short period of time are millionaires.
Right.
By serving in Congress a few years, by being a senator, and they get these major perks, all that needs to go. We need to see real issues come up and real attitudes, And I think they'll find the Democrats are just the same as the Republicans.
Yeah,
but
I think
the Republicans got their butt kicked so bad because I think corruption will take on greater meaning with them. Instead of, let's get some money from Obama, call him up, see if they'll take us to dinner. You know, it's like I think that'll become a major issue. And I hope and pray that they'll be much more focused on such issues.
Right. We're talking with Bill Brumbaugh right now from Proactive News. Bill, before we continue, tell everybody your website, how they can find it.
It's proactivenews.com. There is a new one. I'm just about done revising that. That's billbrumbaugh.com. Now that I've moved and I'm trying to take care of things, I'm trying to get lined up to do audio archives like you guys do and leave them up for a week or so and things like that. I have an email list. I do ask $5 a month. The price, less than the price of a meal at McDonald's or something, you know, just $5. Just one day of fasting from your fast food death, and I ask that as support for getting on the email, and I send out lots of emails. I really overloaded them yesterday. I sent out about 30, but, you know, the thing is, I wanted people to be aware of the issue.
That's right.
And I was down for almost a week and a half with a bad line from Quest. They've got me up and running now, and it's like I'm pumping the emails out. But I have limits on it, and I can only send out about 15 a day at the most. So be aware, I'm not going to overload your email box, but you can get on the email list by writing subscribe to bill@proactivenews.com. Had some real good subscriptions of late. I mean, really good ones, and they said, heard you on Wing TV. Let me know where you heard me from. I do a lot of radio shows, and I always like to know where the people are coming from.
And absolutely, if you want up-to-date news, get on Bill's email list because we think it's an invaluable source here, and he keeps us up-to-date on a variety of different subjects. So we'll mention that website again at the end of the show, but it's proactivenews.com. Some other races, Bill. I'm going to go down these real quick. Elliot Spitzer, everybody knows him from supposedly Carl Schwartz was trying to get him to reopen the 9/11 investigation. It never happened. Elliot Spitzer won in New York. John Murtha, who's speaking out more against the war than anybody in D.C.
60% of the vote.
Yep. John Murtha won big in Pennsylvania. We're glad to see that. Kurt Weldon, from Able Danger fame, lost here in Pennsylvania. Joe Negron, who is running in place of Mark Foley. We know him from the Page scandal. He was disgraced. He lost in Florida, thank God. Our first Muslim ever won in Minnesota, a guy named Keith Ellison. He won. Gay marriage was banned in almost every state where it was up on a referendum. I think Arizona was the only one that didn't vote against it. And, well, let's see, Tom DeLay, Mark Foley, and Bob Ney, all disgraced Republicans, all of them lost. The people that were running for them in their place lost all of them. So, Bill, overall, we see that I think this is historic. I think this is reminiscent of 1994 when Newt Gingrich and his contract on America, as it turned out to be, as it turned out to be, they had big hopes that government would never be the same as you see it now. Well, government became worse, as we all know. But do you think this is historic, what happened yesterday?
Yes, I do, because it shows the disappointment the people had in the Republicans. But again, I don't follow the logic of the people. We should have had more independents take position. It's like, folks, you've got to investigate these people. They never let them hit the air. Republicans and Democrats control the debates. It's like, you get an independent in there, 9 times out of 10, they'll chew up the Republican and the Democrat.
Yeah, the problem, Bill, and I was hoping that I didn't have to even vote for Lynn Swann here because there's a guy we've interviewed numerous times on this show named Russ Diamond. He's a guy that started PA Clean Sweep. And he was trying to run as an independent. They made him collect 67,000 signatures, where Swann and Rendell only had to collect 2,000 each. He couldn't collect the signatures to get his name on the ballot. So the GOP and Democrats only had to get 2,000 each. They could get that at one fundraiser. He had to get 67,000, and they do this nationwide. That's how they keep the independents out. And I think one of the biggest dangers to this country is the Republican and Democratic machine. If I was president today, that's the first thing I'd wipe out, is get rid of that damn machine, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it just makes it too hard, but...
It does, and the fact is that the machine is generational. I mean, well, I'm a Republican. My dad was, my mom was, my grandfather was, my grandmother was, and all my children will be Republican. We need to break that mindset, people. We need to vote for the best candidate, for the best viable person who's qualified for the office, and we need to make it easier for more people to run. As you said, 60,000 signatures, what a load of crap.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Now, as Nancy Pelosi's out there saying we all have to come together, we have to work together, this has to be a show of unity now to get things done. But, Bill, listen to this. Last night, New Jersey Governor John Corzine came out. This is an exact quote. After the results were coming in, he saw that the Democrats were going to win. He says, George Bush and Karl Rove can put it where the sun doesn't shine. Already, less than 24 hours, and they're already starting with this crap. I mean, how is it going to be, what, Bill, another day or two?
You know, that's a mistake. It's a huge mistake. Because Bush is more dangerous than ever.
Yeah.
First of all, he lost his rummy. His rummy is gone.
Yeah.
And who did he appoint? Robert Gates, former CIA chief.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, I'm sure one of his old man's buddies.
He's Secretary of Defense.
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, they move these guys around like chess pieces, and it's like, no, this is bad news. Gates is really bad news as a defense secretary, because he has CIA connections. I say they can serve one office, take place in one event, and they're done. No more of this stuff of Rumsfeld being back again and Cheney being back. And it's like, I'm surprised you didn't swap Cheney and Rumsfeld.
Well, I mean, Gates is just one of George Bush Sr.'s old CIA buddies, so it's not surprising that he was putting in there. But let's take it now. Let's focus on this. Is the Bush presidency officially over?
No, I think it's more dangerous than ever. I'm sure that when things started looking bad it started really with DeLay. Tom DeLay was the opening act, and then you had the non-scandal of Abramoff, Nordquist, and company, and it's like, why weren't these investigated? No, I think as the investigations intensify and Bush comes under more and more pressure, things are going to become much more dangerous and deadly.
Yeah.
I'm afraid we're going to see something that'll dwarf 911, something that might be more professionally done than 911 does, because 911 is clearly a setup, a scam and sham. And it's shameful that everybody just accepted all those damn Arabs or the damn Muslims, or let's see, who do they name? It's like, well, what's the blame game going to be?
Right.
I think we're going to have something horrible happen, and it might be in the near future, because the investigations are going to start taking place. I think they'll try and leave 911 alone, but then just as big are all the scandals through the lobbying interest.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth.
That card, I think that Bush is going to push a button.
Yeah. Well, you took the words out of my mouth, because do you think the subpoenas are soon to follow now?
Well, it's like Cheney said if he was subpoenaed, he wouldn't go.
I saw that yesterday.
What good is this, too? It's like Bush can claim executive privilege. You know, Clinton did that more times than we're aware of.
Oh, I know. Well, one of the big things that I noticed, that there was a change in the Middle East, in the Iraqi war, was a couple weeks ago, Halliburton announced that they were pulling out, okay? Then last week, Bechtel announced that they're pulling out. So if these guys are actually pulling out of Iraq, now the big question is, are we going to go into Iran before they have a chance to pull out so they can just switch their pieces around on the board or not? But when Halliburton and Bechtel are saying, wait a second, this isn't worth it anymore, plus they've already raked in their billions and billions over there.
They're billions and are set up for billions more.
Exactly, yeah. So that was one of the big indicators that things were turning. But I want to talk about something else that was fairly a big issue in this race, and that was minimum wage. Now, everybody thinks, well, this was a big part of it. But, Bill, years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, 15% of workers made minimum wage. Today, in this day and age, only 2% of the population makes minimum wage. So is this nothing more than really like one of those feel-good issues where it sounds good on paper, but, I mean, minimum wage hasn't been raised in 10 years now, and only 2% of the population even makes minimum wage. It's really only college kids and high school kids. So was there really anything to this, or just was this just a fluff issue?
No, it's not really a fluff issue, but not enough is made of it. The fact is we're not competing with the global market. We're not competing with Chinese who will work for a couple dollars a day, U.S.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like minimum wage. Heck, you know, I started out working at $1.85 an hour.
Wow.
And I was crusading back then. I was political before I even knew I was. I was crusading to get more money, and we actually made $2.35. That's where I went to. And everybody said, that's going to destroy the market. No, it didn't. It didn't affect prices or anything. And that was a Sizzler Steakhouse number 17 in Norwalk, California.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, I had my family job there where I was making some money back then, $10 an hour, you know, in the late 60s was a lot of money. But it was like, the work is dangerous. And as I look at it and look at everything that took place, the fact is that those jobs that require people, I mean, air traffic controllers, they are way down the list now on making money. And it's like, no wonder that we have incompetence in the positions at these airports. I think we're going to have some real problems with the airlines once if the gas prices stay where they are, which I really doubt. I think they go sky high now. Because
I think the Republicans lost.
They don't, you know.
There's nothing to lose now.
And Bush will blame it. You know, as he said last night, three times in three separate speeches, the Democrats are all lies and nonsense. And then he comes on, I congratulated Nancy Pelosi and all this stuff. It's like, these guys are looking at him, you filthy, stinking liar.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think we're going to see the gas prices just go right through the roof.
Oh, I agree completely. Now, Bill, when I was watching the coverage last night, and I was clicking back and forth between four or five different stations, and they had all the pundits on and all the big names giving their little commentary. And of all, for lack of better words, the biggest dickhead I saw out of all of them was Howard Dean. What do you think of this guy? I mean, he just creeped me out last night.
You know, I think Howard Dean is a pretty good guy. I've seen what he's done. He's worked for little guys. But he has the social skills of a Bush.
He does.
I mean, he's a moron. I mean, he needs not to speak. Just be quiet. Don't do interviews. Keep him out of the limelight.
I agree.
And let him work behind the scenes because, quite frankly, I mean, you know, it's like, I remember his screaming thing where, rah,
yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, my God, and they crucified him over it.
Yeah.
They basically ended his presidential chances and opportunities. But the guy, it's like he keeps doing that. I'm starting to think the guy's under mind control. You know,
he comes across.
They have a tremendous hard worker who was good for the party and raising money and exciting people. He's really good with young folks. Everybody likes the guy.
Yeah.
But, you got to get Howard Dean out of the limelight.
Yeah, he just comes across.
Don't let him say anything.
He comes across so horribly on TV that they ought to just put him in the back room somewhere and just, you're right, just tell him to shut up. So, all right. Let's wind it down here, Bill. Hillary in 2008. Of course, we have
That's a no-brainer. She's going to run.
Yeah, we have Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up now. So politics are going to wane right now in the end of November and December. Starting in January, the race for 2008 begins. Hillary is coming across as moderate, temperate, even-keeled. None of the things that she really is in real life. But that's her public image now. And if George Bush and this administration keep running things into the ground, if the Republicans don't salvage everything they've lost, and if the GOP puts up some kind of tepid dish rag candidate in 2008, someone like a Michael Dukakis was for the Democrats, if we wake up in 2008 and she's president, that's the end, because this North American Union, this superhighway, the whole thing. She's going to push it through, isn't she?
Yes, she is, because I think that she has already invested money through fourth and fifth tier agendas to make money off of this. And it's like, and what are they going to do? I'm still telling you, I think they're going to relocate a lot of people from the Middle East along that highway. Under eminent domain, they want the land now, they can just take it. And I think we're going to have a lot of people of Middle Eastern descent imported into this country. Because once they break the news that that area of the world is unlivable,
uh-huh.
I mean, Iraq is unlivable, period. You can't live there. The mutated children, I have the pictures up on my website.
I saw them myself.
It's terrifying. And it's like, and folks, these are just some of them. You know, the question in the Middle East used to be, when they had a birth, is it a boy or a girl? You know what the number one question is now? Is it normal?
Right, exactly. Well, Bill, as this election's over, I'm reminded of some Democrats when they said, well, I didn't leave the Democratic Party, they left me. Well, you know what? I was never a Republican per se. But when I look at what the Republican Party has done, I'm reminded of that same saying. I didn't leave them. They left me. And when I ask out of politicians, I want a smaller federal government. I want lower taxes for everyday people. I want secure borders. I want honesty. Bill, that's not a whole lot to ask from conservatives, is it? Or from government in general. Stay out of our lives. Let us have our money. And, you know, why is that so much to ask for? And we've been betrayed. We've been betrayed years ago by the Democrats. We've been betrayed recently by the Republicans. And I hope somehow we can pull this all together and get this country strong again. But when I hear that John Corzine making a statement like I read a little bit ago, I give it a week at most, and it's going to be back like cats and dogs at each other's throats again. What are your final thoughts on this election, these big midterm elections?
Well, you know, this is perhaps the most important, or let's see, what is it Justin Raimondo said, or the least important
uh-huh.
midterm election in history. Because really, what changed? So all we did was change personnel,
right.
And they switched suits, and everything has been the same. Again, I would have been overjoyed to see a ton of independents win. Boy, that would have made my millennium.
That would have been historic.
Yeah, it would have been wonderful. But it's like we're still keeping it two parties. And it's a two-party only club.
Yeah.
And it's like we need to change that mindset, folks. You need to start working double hard. You need to attend political meetings by third, fourth, and fifth party candidates. Heck, you know, even the Libertarians in LaRouche, they have some good things to say. I know a friend of mine says they're closet communists. You know what? They're advocating some righteous change. The Constitution Party, boy, that was the best platform I saw. And yet, you tell somebody the Constitution Party, what, they having a party about the Constitution?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, come on, people.
Yeah.
Don't break the chain of events that have undertaken to corrupt this country to the horrific levels that it has, then nothing is going to change. America is a country with a limited future, and that future will soon be taken over by countries that are, you know, it's like everything that we're doing is corporate. Everything is. They talk about the corporations. When they talk about the money, they're talking about what the corporations make, which they make more by suppressing our wages. They make more by outsourcing. I mean, this whole thing with Pakistan, this is a giant issue. We're not nearly through with it yet. And God knows where our troops are going to be sent, because they can't stay in Iraq. And nobody wants them in Iraq. So where are they going to send them?
Yeah.
They have to keep them in service in order to keep control over them, because the fact is that these guys are in a bad mental shape. They're in bad physical shape. They're going to keep pushing them around the globe. Again, you know, it's little chess pieces, and, you know, you see those guys with the long sticks and the little thing on the end. They just push it over here, push it over there, because if they don't, these guys are going to come home really sick. You know, I do want to say one thing. The big issue that I thought was overlooked in this whole thing was the death of Helen Chenoweth. I really grieved over that. She was a great lady, and it's like I send out everything I can find on her, because there was some quite weird. attention to this. I don't trust anything now. They tell us something, I look somewhere else because it's hard to believe. People just die, like all the molecular biologists, all these guys that understand biological warfare. 27 of the world leaders are all dead. Is that because it's just an accident? Most of them died under Clinton, the rest of them died under Bush, and it's like that's 27 of the leaders, and God knows how many small guys are dead. We need to look long and hard at this country, this nation, and the direction we're heading, because it's militarily driven according to Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy is misunderstood and misapplied, and again, the evangelicals are leading this nation into war, and it's not over yet.
I think what we saw is it's two heads of the same serpent. We just switched sides from the GOP to the Democrats. There's always hope, but if we keep this mind frame, this lock by these two political machines, I don't think there's any way that the everyday person is going to move ahead beyond what we have right now, the circumstances that are around them. And you've been listening to Mr. Bill Brumbaugh. That's proactivenews.com. Sign up for his newsletter. It's without a doubt the best one there is, his daily updates. If you want news from all different walks of life, this is where to get it, proactivenews.com. And, Bill, I just want to thank you. We've been over an hour now. I appreciate you giving all your time here. And one last time, tell everybody how they can sign up for your newsletter.
Yeah, folks, I do ask $5 a month. If you really don't have it, just send me in the name of God or in the name of Buddha or Allah or whoever you worship that you really can't afford $5 a month. But I do ask that, and if you would send the word subscribe to the following email address, bill@proactivenews.com, bill@proactivenews.com. Just write a couple words and say, I heard about you on Wing TV. I would really appreciate it because it's real important for me to track that stuff. It's expensive doing this stuff. I have a very secure server. You don't get advertised to. Nothing along those lines. I just put out news to the best of my ability.
Well, Bill, thank you very much. Donald Rumsfeld resigns. The Democrats sweep in the election. It's been a very exciting day.
And Cheney's out shooting things.
And Cheney's out shooting things. So, Bill, it's good to spend some time with you. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk soon, okay?
All right. Take care, Victor.
All right. Take care. We'll be back on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.